Hi, group. My name is Wellfoot, and I'm married. Not Wolfit. It's not Weldon. It's not Willard. It's not Wilfred. It's Wellfoot. And that's a very important part of my story. My home group is in the Norvana area. It's the Who Wants to Live group, located in Alexandria, Virginia. It's a 6 o'clock meeting on Saturday evenings. And if you ever happen to be in that area, please stop by. We do steps, traditions. We have literature study. And one Saturday a month, we have an open discussion meeting. How much time I got? I was hoping Al would kill me all. Because when I got the call to come down here and share, I was like, why me? You know, it wasn't like, to be honest with you, it wasn't about humility. It's about insecurity. It's about inadequacy. You know, I know a little something about the traditions. And I do my best talking on the corner. You know, I like to stand up there on the corner, hold myself, pat my foot to a rhythm that's going off in my head. You know what I mean? And I can talk all day long on any subject you want to talk about. I was sharing earlier that this is a 9:30 meeting, so it wouldn't be a lot of people here. And it seemed like everything conflicted because I wanted Albert to go first because I know he got a long story and wouldn't leave me a whole lot of time. But now that I'm up here, the place done filled up. That's just how it is. You know, the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. Is that right? You know, but like I was saying, I was a very angry individual growing up. Just to tell you a little bit about me, to qualify myself. I started out little things, insecurity, inadequacy, and fear. I had all those things. I covered it up with ego and arrogance. You know, like I said, my name's Wilford. They call me Wilden, everything else, you know. And, boy, it made me feel like, you know, nobody liked me. Nobody wanted to say my name. You know, now I don't like my name. You know, I wanted one of those names like Jerron, Avon, Ricky. You know, it seemed like when the girls used to say those names, they sound like they were out of breath. Ricky. You know, Tony. You know, and I wanted one of those kind of names, you know. In other words, what I'm saying is I wanted folks to like me. You know, spend a lot of time. I had a long head. I wear hats, but I had a long head. You know, a little boy with a long head, you know. And, they called me Pistol Head. Greyhound Bus Head. Penis Head. Shotgun Head. You know, if it was long, they called it, you know, saddle head. Hey, man, let me ride home on your head. All these things together, you know, didn't make me feel good about myself. And the funny thing about it was the folks that used to call. I had folks over here, I mean, they didn't have no problem with my head. And they could say Wellfoot. They were squares. You know, I wanted to hang with these folks. I wanted to fit in with these folks, you know. So I fought my way in, and I people-pleased my way in. And you couldn't tell me I was back then. You couldn't tell me I was a people-pleaser. But as a result of step work, I found out I did a lot of people-pleasing, too. I went through a lot of changes just to fit in. And by being so angry, I caused myself a lot of problems. I refused direction. I had a parent that she was crippled. She was born with polio. And you know how we are as kids. You know, we always played that yo mama. You know, and boy, I was in fights all the time. You know, and the thing about that is that I had a mother that understood her situation better than I did. But older folks have a tendency not to be able to explain things to you. So every time I got in a fight because somebody said, called my mother the hunchback of Notre Dame, I would get a whipping when I got home for fighting. You know, and that was a conflict. You know, that allowed me to misunderstand some things, you know. So as a result of all my anger, you know, when the guys I tried to fit in with, when they started doing drugs, I started doing drugs too. Now I was a part of, now I felt as though I was liked. As a result, I went some places I said I would never go, and I did some things I said I would never do. I ended up here, practicing that hip slicking cool. I always worked. Had a real nice job. I used to dress up every day. I want people to like me. I dressed up, you know, alligator shoes and all that old good stuff, you know, neckties, sport coat. And then the type of job I had required that too, you know, because those are the kind of jobs I look for, you know. And getting to the anonymity piece, like I said, I'm an old dope fiend. I came into fellowship 34 years old. I'm 63 years old now. So I got 28 years clean. November the 1st, I'll be celebrating my 29th year. Okay? And I say that because I don't want anybody here to compare themselves out. Because what I intend to talk about basically is that the spirit of anonymity and feelings. And I remember going to work one day, and of course my usual self, supporting my wealth, and decided to go out to lunch. Well, that wasn't a decision that I made. I realized the day the dope made the decision for me, because I went out to lunch every day. You know, the funny thing, you think that you're doing things, but you're dealing with a substance here that's making decisions for you. You know, and I went out to lunch every day and went to the same place every day, did the same thing every day and came back, you know. And I would go out and I'd cop, I'd go to the oil joint, then I'd come back to work. And one day I was out there, this was in 1982, I was out there. And y'all folks call them the jump out now. Y'all call them jump out and stuff. Back when I was doing it, they called it the Mod Squad. And I'm sitting in my car with another buddy that's getting high with me. He's supposed to be watching out for me. And I'm watching out for him. You understand what I'm saying, you know. It's funny who we put in charge of our lives. It's amazing, isn't it, you know. We even let these people watch our kids. You know. And I saw some people go by, and he said, "Who's that?" I said, "Oh, some guys on a bicycle." Next thing you know, they were pulling us out the car through the car window. Now, I'm going to cut right through the chase. I was on my lunch hour, you know, and they locked me up. I called my job and requested leave. I told them that I had went out to lunch, and I had a boot on my car. And I had to go take care of that to get my car back and, you know, so forth and so on. Good liar. But I want you to tell you, I was doing all this before I picked up the drink of the drug. So there was something wrong with me before I picked up the drink of the drug. I was sitting in my office one day, and about 6 weeks later, I got a call to come see some folks. And the area that I was going to is where they do promotions and stuff. And when they told me to come up there and see them, I said, "Oh, shucks, they finally recognize." Because before then, I had been told that I was a good worker when you're here. All I heard was you're a good worker. Because we hear what we want to hear. He said, you're a good worker when you're here. Yeah. And I went upstairs and they greeted me very cordially, treated me real nice. And they said, asked me to have a seat. And they told me that they had gotten a report from the Metropolitan Park Police that I was in a certain area shooting narcotics in your arm. They didn't say I was caught with paraphernalia. They didn't say none of that good, you know, stuff that you want to see on paper. They actually called me a dope fiend. And I shrunk down in the chair. I felt like Marion Barry. Because the covers have been pulled off me. You know, all this time I've been perpetrating fraud. I've been wearing shirts, ties, neckties and stuff. But see, during the daytime, that necktie went around my neck. And at night, it went around my arm. So, after we went through all that, they suggested that I ought to get some help. Now, this is way back before they had, some of y'all know them, AMA programs and all this old stuff on the job that help you out. And I think them programs designed to get rid of you. You know, because they had to put up with me. I went treatment 4 times on that job. That's when my spirit of anonymity comes in. Each time I came back from that job, I had to practice them. One of the part of the spirit of anonymity is humility. Didn't have nothing to do with the fellowship, but that's when I had to start. I had to walk around that job, hold my head up, through the help of you people here in Narcotics Anonymous, hold my head up, and I know something happened, but I could not allow what happened to me hold me back. Y'all gave me a new way of living, a new way of looking at things, and a new way of thinking about things, and I was allowed to go to that job and work, hold my head up, and practice some principles. And y'all taught me that here. Now, when lunchtime came, I ate. There were areas where people were still getting high. I would walk around them. I was very defensive. I did not want to be associated with any type of narcotic or anybody that was dealing with narcotics. I stayed away, tried to stay away from the whole scene. See, now I'm trying to protect things. I went to my first convention. I got clean in 1985. I went to my first convention in 1987. It was right here at Chesapeake. And I went down there, and I was so happy. I went down there and took a lot of pictures. Everybody. I came back to work. I put the pictures in the shop, went up there on my lunch hour. I got the pictures out. I was sitting at my desk looking at all the pictures. Y'all were looking good. Somebody came by and said, what you looking at? I said, oh, these are some pictures from the convention I went to over the weekend. See, I didn't know nothing about anonymity then. I had read it, but I didn't understand it. She said, oh, let me see them. Well, I thought it was okay to see them because I used to shoot dope with a brother. So, you know, she has some knowledge of getting high, you know, so I figured it was okay for her to see them. You follow what I'm saying? And as we was going through the pictures, she saw one particular picture. She said, that girl with y'all. She said, I used to go to school with her. I didn't know she was doing that. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, I just broke her anonymity. And I didn't realize. When I started going to meetings earlier in this town, I went to a lot of meetings that had a lot of prominent people. I would come out of the meeting and I would go home and my parents would say something to me about that. And I'd say, so-and-so was in the meeting. Because I know there was a prominent person. I know that my parents liked them. So if you like them, then you can like me. It's what the old timers call an N.A. show-off. See, when you're out here talking about that I go to this and this is how I got clean by going to NA and so forth like that. See, you're not thinking about the other people in the fellowship. See, the spirit of anonymity is about putting principles before personality. As a result of doing that, you develop some humility. And the humility allows you to think what's best for other people, not yourself. So, in doing so, my lessons evolved. Now, what I also found out, too, is that this is not a... In the very, very beginning, our forefathers first created this tradition. Now, you got to keep in mind that, you know, that the traditions came after the steps. You know, and everybody was working steps. And they were making themselves better. Because we selfish people, so we're going to look out for ourselves first anyway, right? So you give me something that's going to tell me that it's going to make me better, I'm going to do that. But what was happening, we wasn't getting along with each other. And it's like that sometimes today. You hear people talk about area services and things like that, how they be cutting up. You know? And basically what the thing is that the putting principles before personality has gone out the window. And I blame that too, and I want to suggest this, I blame that too on a lot of sponsorship, on a lot of sponsors, because sponsors are not teaching their sponsees.
Amen. Thank you.
Because a lot of sponsees come in here and they don't understand anonymity. They get caught up in this thing that anonymity is just about keeping secrets. Don't tell nobody who I am. The whole thing was designed to keep ourselves anonymous from the folks on the outside. It was designed that when we come in here, we look out for number one, for each other. We care and we share in any way. That's what anonymity is about. Now, let us not confuse sharing something that somebody said with breaking the anonymity and gossip. Most times, if you put a name with it, you gossiping. If you say so-and-so shared this in a meeting, you gossiping. Also, before you share something about what somebody said, make sure it's true, make sure it's kind, and make sure it's necessary. It's not supposed to just fit one of those things. It's supposed to fit all of them. It might be true and it might be kind, but it might not be necessary for you to open your mouth. You might have to just leave that for somebody else, you know. See, the whole thing is set up so that we can all be one big family in here. You know, we only got one common purpose. You know, freedom from addiction. And we have to help each other do that. And that's where the spirit of anonymity comes in. See, I mentioned my job. Because I know, by me being in that type of atmosphere, I know how people view us. Even though you in here now and you think you're great, and you think that being a reformed addict is acceptable, because you don't hear somebody say that, go get a job and go apply for a job and tell this one person that you don't know that you're an addict. Don't even say you're an addict. Say I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And you know that that's for addicts. See, I base that on my prior understanding. I had a girlfriend one time. I had a girlfriend one time and, I was shooting dope. All she was doing was drinking. And she told me she had to go to an AA meeting. And I was like, what? See, I thought AA meetings were places that people sent you when you really got bad. You had to be doing real bad. The judge sent you there. And I told her, I said, you don't need that kind of stuff. She said, you just don't understand. I need to go. So she says, I'm going to take about an hour. Stay here and I'll be right back. I sat there and 15 minutes into my sitting there, I thought about it. I said, nah. I do not want a girlfriend that got to go to AA. And the reason I'm sharing this with you, because there are people that still think like that today. And you don't know who they are. because they're skinning and grinning in your face does not mean that they don't have opinion about AA or NA or whatever, you know? So I sat there, and I'm about 15 minutes into it, I said, nah. So I went uptown, got me some dope, and went home. That devastated me. I got this girlfriend, she all pretty and everything. She got to go to AA meetings. So I went and got some dope, went home. Looked at my clock, made it. By the time I figured she was home, I called up on the phone and quit her. That's the honest to God truth. Talking about ignorance, y'all. About 5 years later, I was in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, she got 5 years more than me. And I remember seeing her at church. And I was so happy to see her. To tell her the great news. See, I'm an N.A. show-off now. I ain't got here, been here but less than a year, right? I'm an N.A. I want to tell her, you know. And when I stepped the water, she stepped back. I said, wow, why are you acting so apprehensive? She said, I ain't never had a man to talk to me the way you talked to me that night. Had to put on my men's list. You know. See, and I share that with y'all to get y'all to understand that when we out here doing these little things, we have to practice some integrity. You know. Now, I ain't talking about the type of integrity that I thought I had one time, you know, because I used to pay the dope man on time. You know, I ain't talking about that kind of integrity. I ain't talking about integrity that if you overchanged me, if I had $100 in my pocket, I might give you that 20 back. But I ain't got no money in my pocket and I might walk with it. You know, I used to, for about 10 years, I did an H&I meeting in a penitentiary. And in penitentiaries, they have, you know, they set up these little programs for the people that's in there for drugs. And I used to carry an H&I meeting in there. Did it for about 10 years. And in the old programs, you don't see that too much today, but in the old programs, they used to have, you walk in there, man, you couldn't even get in the room for all the signs that was on the wall. You know. First things first. No gain without pain. Keep coming back. All these little signs, you know. Cliches, we call them. They had definitions on the wall, the little words that they used. And I used to see this thing all the time in the definition of integrity. And that thing grabbed me for some reason. And I had like four other words under it, but that thing about integrity grabbed me because I always thought I had some integrity simply because there was some things I had not yet, okay? Sum it up. Because I had some not yet, I thought I had integrity. And I looked at that word, and the definition for it up there was, you know, integrity also means strength and so forth, you know, but up there it meant applying to the person. It meant doing what's right, even though you'd rather do something else. That's the spirit of anonymity. You know, putting that principle before that personality. And even though I might not be in agreement with it, but it's the right thing to do. And I looked at that word and I said, damn. Because I remember I was paying the dope man on time, and he told me one day, he said, look, I know how you are. He said, you're doing okay right now, but I'm going to tell you, if you ever take my money, I'm going to hurt you. And I looked at him, I said, well, you questioning my integrity? Said, didn't it? Because, you know, the purpose of me paying him on time was so I could keep getting more, right? It wasn't about doing the right thing, you know, so I can keep getting more. But see, I realized that if I had any kind of integrity, I wouldn't have been selling dope. So therefore, I had no integrity. I want to thank y'all for being here for me. I want to thank the committee for allowing me to come out and be a service here this afternoon. And y'all been a great crowd, and I love you and thank you very much.